This is the Meet Me at the Spot podcast, where we meet at the intersections of sexual health and the world around us. Each week, we will discuss sexual health current events, politics, social justice issues, and more. Get excited because it is time to start the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Meet Me at the Spot. I'm your host, Holly, and we are going to dive right in to part two of my amazing conversation with Bree, aka That Sex Lady. If you haven't listened to part one, go back and check it out and then come back to part two. At the end of part one, we finished with asking a question around why conversations around pleasure aren't happening as often. And so this week's episode is all about pleasure. I hope you enjoy.
I have so many thoughts. Okay, so I love this question. This is so good. I want to first start off by saying, so I'm in New York. So I'm like the East Coast, California. So we're both in like the progressive state. Mm-hmm. And I still find the same thing, and even among myself. Even today, I've been doing this work for a long time. And I still am like, Okay, so I'll start off by saying a lot of the curricula that organizations like Planned Parenthood and others who do like very similar work, that kind of like canned curriculum, it kind of sucks. And I know it's like, it's good for, it's okay. But there's a lot of it out there that's just not updated. It's not really written by sex educators. Like, I've seen a lot of curriculum that's written by like, not sex educators who go into a classroom, and it's so evident. And it gets tricky when sometimes you work for like grant funding, like what you can and can't do. And then when you go into schools, you're basically, you know, creating an agreement what you can and can't do. And every school district is different. I'm sure you, and even in like the same school, I've gone to different classrooms and had very different, you know, expectations of me being in the classroom. Yeah. So I think the curriculum kind of sets us up to not be able to talk about pleasure, but also not be able to advocate for ourselves to talk about pleasure. Because like, we have to stick to this curriculum because that's what our grant says. And if we don't, then we don't get our money, and then we lose our jobs, and then we're kind of screwed. And so that is kind of like one little caveat to it. I think the other part is that we have to recognize that we too are human beings at the end of the day, who a lot of us, I don't know about you, but every like sex educator that I know grew up and like went to Catholic school, grew up involved in the church in some way, and really like kind of came out of that. But nobody helped us like come out of that, right? Like, I went to Catholic school for middle school. We didn't talk about sex. Yeah. it's not a good episode if you don't have some good sex puns. I think a lot of us never really learned to talk about pleasure openly and honestly. And I think still as a society, even in the most progressive of areas, it's still not as progressive when we talk about sex. Like, it's so wild to me that there's, so I went to a conference back last April, and it was all focused on like pleasure, pleasure about sex, and coming from like a pleasure centered lens when we talk about sex. And it was revolutionary to me because I was like, duh, why wouldn't we do this? Why don't we do this? Yeah. Like, why don't we sit around and talk with our friend groups at a coffee shop about how the other night, like, you used this new toy with your partner, you had the best orgasm of your life, and like, you all are on like the site, you know, looking at it and buying it for each other for gifts. Like, that should just be a normal conversation.
Yes.
And even people think like, oh, you work in sex ed, like you must be like so wild. And I'm like, no, I'm a human being. I love talking about sex stuff on the internet and to strangers that I give presentations for. But there's just so much taboo and stigma around sex being pleasurable. It trips us up as people who work in this field and who know, like, it's so important to talk about this. And then we're like, and also, how do I talk about this without the whole thing being about my pleasure?
So to go off what you're like talking about this, okay. So short story, I did a SAR. Do you know the SAR? The sexual attitude reassessment? Is that what it stands for? I always forget. And so I did a SAR out here and there were 8 of us. I was the only educator. All the rest were therapists, which I love. Put me in a room full of therapists. I love it. And we, we went around the room kind of sharing what were our experiences. Why were we in the field that we were in? And it's exactly what you said. Most of us, it was because of church or religion upbringing and having to unpack it for one reason or another, has landed us where we are today. And I keep finding that to be a very similar experience for a lot of people in this field, but though not everyone's. It is interesting because, again, I have to continually check in with myself. As I mentioned before, I find myself constantly kind of being triggered sometimes, even during classes, with unexpected questions or scenarios or things, and kind of like taking a breath. But pleasure is one of those where, you know, especially as a cis woman, have never centered that. And like, I feel like every sex educator has that rant and soapbox, so I'm not gonna go too deep into it. But it's true. I'm seeing it more and I'm trying to make mental notes of it when I see it in social media, when I see it in movies, books, whatever, and it's getting better. But it's not there yet. You're like, okay, Jillian, what's her name? From Sex Education, the actress who plays the mom on that, during the sex therapist, Jillian, I cannot think of her name. She just wore a vulva dress to the Golden Globes, but called it the vagina. So you're like, we're so close, but then we're like, almost, you know? I feel like that happens a lot, and like that's still pleasure. We're still not comfortable talking about it, even amongst our friends. And you brought up a good point when I went to a sex conference back in October. There's a bunch of us, educators, counselors, therapists, in a room for 3 days, which is amazing. I don't think I have to tell you that, but we literally, the keynote speaker was like, do you know what, you know, some of us do at a table? Like, a bunch of us sex therapists just shared our fantasies. And I was like, whoa, I don't know. But I was like, if I were to do it, it would be with this group of people. And he was like, what better way to get to know someone, and literally using it as a date, like on a date, to ask a person, what is their biggest fantasy? Because it can be so telling, like, and just listening with no judgment, no shame, it can like give you a lot deeper insight into a person and your compatibility or incompatibility, all that stuff, your chemistry, thoughts, you know, rather than being like, where do you expect to be in 5 years? Like, what are your goals? You know, he's like, no, if you ask about someone's fantasies and their hopes and desires sexually, like that actually can be more telling of a person and their characteristics, than some of the more standard questions we ask on a date. And so literally some of us, the next time we broke for lunch, we were like, all right, let's share our fantasies. And it was so amazing, essentially, and fascinating, learning from each other with, again, no shame, no judgment, literally just curiosity. And I never felt more seen or heard mm-hmm. in space. And I brought that to my book club that I have. And like, everybody knows what I do. And they're close, like friends of mine, you know, from several years. I started several different book clubs. This is like my fourth or fifth iteration one over the years. And I brought this. I was like, guys, okay, here, like, listen to this. Like, what do you think if we like shared our fantasies? Not a one, like not a one. And which is interesting because then I didn't feel comfortable sharing mine, you know, right. And it's someone who is more outspoken in this field. Like, I feel like I talk about this all the time, but I've dialed it back. Like, as I don't want to talk about sex all the time. I really don't. And even more so, like, it depends on spaces, what I talk about or what I share. I thought it was really interesting that, again, a lot of these people in my book club, we've got a lot of different backgrounds. All of us come from religious backgrounds for the most part.
I told you.
So it was interesting, you know, taking into consideration. And then like some people, like if they shared, it was like a very minimal, like they didn't want people to know what it was, you know, like they'd be willing to share if it was anonymous, but not. And which is telling, it's telling. But also it was like, I just want to be taken. I forgot what one of the examples was, like, by the lead singer of a concert was an example I got. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. You know, like, not to compare, because a fantasy is a fantasy. And they're like a whole spectrum, but it was like the in-depth conversation I had with at the sex conference with a bunch of therapists, how we were able to delve deep and unpack. And it's like, I literally loved it so much more and valued that conversation and my book club. And it was like, yeah, no, I fantasize about the lead singer. Like, well, who does it? Like, who has it? It was just very interesting. And again, it was talking about pleasure. Like, what do we most pleasure and desire? It's really hard, I think, for some people to even come to terms with, because I think they might be kinkier than they, mm-hmm. like they're kinkier than they wish they were, or they think they are. Which I find, like, I don't think I have to tell you again and again, any sex expert would be like, all of us are kinky. It's just to like what level, degree, right. What your dislikes, you know, we'd like to put things on like a pyramid. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. it's more of a spectrum. I don't know. Have you found that? Like, I genuinely think most folks are kinkier than they realize, but we have a harder time admitting it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Especially the religion we are.
Yes, right? And I know, I agree with you. I think a lot of it, too, has to go back to that, like, being able to communicate with your partner. And if you're not able to talk about your sexual fantasies with like a group of your girlfriends, talking about it with your partner and that extra level of vulnerability, like if my friends are telling me about like all of their sexual fantasies, yes, there's a level of vulnerability there, but we're not about to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But like with a partner, you are. And so there's that level of vulnerability. You might already be like naked, and so there's that vulnerability. And again, it kind of goes back to a lot of that like shame and taboo around sex. And so what if I ask for something that's too much, too risque? What if I ask for something that's gonna be a turn off for them? What if they ask me something and it's a turn off for me? And I don't know how to react to it in the moment, kind of thing. And I don't want to hurt their feelings, you know?
If I can, I will always talk about vulnerability. And I talk about mm-hmm. it even with my youth in my classrooms. And that's a newer term, I think. But that vulnerability is juicy and it's good. And I feel like it does a lot of magic if you're willing to go in that space.
Yeah, I think too, a lot of
a lot of people may draw like their expectations about sex from porn. And so depending on like what types of porn that they're searching, they may be seeing like one side to sex and think like, you know, penis inserted into vagina equals massive orgasms. And then you have to like deprogram that for a lot of people. Like not for most, but okay. Let's talk about, you know, let's talk about the clitoris. So, but yeah, you know, there's just a lot, because we don't talk about pleasure, we don't talk about ways that sex could be more pleasurable, things you could add in, you know, that some people may be like, whoa, that's really kinky, you know? And again, like you said, I think it's fascinating to think about like, you know, kinkiness, because I people always want to put stuff in like this black and white, like you're vanilla.
Yeah.
You're like,
nothing wrong with vanilla.
No, my gosh, no. If that's your
flavor,
that's your jam.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a flavor. I love that. But like, and some people are like, oh, you use sex toys, that's really kinky. Or people like, you do, you know, whips and chains and are handcuffing each other and, you know, hot wax poured out, you know. So like there's varying degrees.
There's a lot of different things that people I don't think realize is out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think, you know, talking to people about like, try new stuff with your partner. You know, talk about it before, not in the bedroom space. You know, talk about it at dinner while you're just sitting on the couch hanging out. Mm-hmm. There's apps, like there's so many apps now where you and your partner can both download the app. If you're someone who's the communication thing you're still working on, like you and your partner download it and you kind of pick the things that, you know, you like or into or want to try. And also things that are like a hard pass for you.
Yeah.
Like sexually, I would never do this. And then your partner kind of, you see what you match on and see like where there's some like gray area that you could talk about it. I know when they were first coming out, my now spouse and I, we had downloaded something, I think pretty similar, to that. And it kind of opened up the conversation for us to talk about like what we might be into, what we'd like to explore, what was a hell no for us. Like, this isn't for us. Cool if other people are down for this, but not for us. And what was like, yeah, this is always going to be a green light. But it definitely opened up the conversation. It got the conversation started.
Yeah.
And see, I'm a sex educator. I talk about sex all day, and y'all, I needed to use an app to talk to my spouse, right? Like, to talk about sex. So this is like exactly what we're talking about. Like, I don't fault people.
Yeah. No, so side note about kink, as the more I delve into this field again and learn about all of this stuff, it's genuinely, I look at people and I'm like traveling and I'll be like, I wonder what their kink is, because everyone has one, you know, like I'm always just kind of like, it's like people watching, but my version is like, what do you think they're into? Like, what do they wish they could ask their partner, or what are they, you know, what are they talking to their partner about? And like, we're partners, you know? That's kind of like where my brain goes. It's kind of fun.
It's very fun because I do that same thing. Literally do that when I see people. I'm like, huh, what are they into? I'm like, whoa, get like, maybe check your face, Hal. Check your face. Are you looking at them weird? Like, no, but it is a fun thing to do. I encourage everyone listening right now, next time you go somewhere where there's a lot of people and you see couples walking by, ask yourself, what kind of sex do you think they're into?
Yeah. Now, on a side note, to bring in like a current movie, Saltburn, everyone is kind of like, I don't know if
you have to I have to watch the show, apparently. Or is it a movie?
It's a movie, yeah. By Emerald Fennell. If you haven't seen it already, you've probably heard some buzz about it.
Yes.
I wasn't shocked. Again, if you've attended a SAR training, which exposes you to a lot of different sexual pleasures and enjoyments that people can have, relationships, all of that. And then you kind of sit and you kind of break it down and discuss it. If that person or people were your client, you know, how would you talk with them? How would you help them? How would you, you know, like kind of work through whatever it is that they're coming into your office, knowing what you know. And you really have to look at it through the no judgment, no shame kind of lens and like really just talk straight up. So Saltburn, some of the things that the character does, it's like, sure, it's surprising, but I'm also like, yeah, I mean, if you knew all the different kinks out there like that, I don't know that I would have pegged that for the main character, but it added it to the list of what I'll probably imagine others, like it clearly came from somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's just it. Like, it just shows you a deep delve into the minds of people. And I mean, Pornhub releases their annual, you know,
yes.
whatever of like, what are the most top searches? How long do people spend on these videos? What are the most viewed? Like this, that, and the other. And it's telling of our human, like, experience. It's telling of what we enjoy. It's so telling of what do we want. And it's different around the world. Mm-hmm. So that just shows you further cultural influences are taboos and what we want to look at. I think Justin Lay Miller said, and maybe this is outdated with his fantasies, the thing that people wanted the most in the United States was cuckolding. Like that's what they fantasize the most mm-hmm. of, but it was different in France because they allow that over there and they do that more. And it's probably, and it was something different in France. I don't remember what it was, but it's like, oh, you know, like what do we allow or not allow in our society as cultural norms, or, you know, we are drawn to the things that are more taboo. So, you know, I love looking into that stuff and like, you know, again, watching movies like Saltburn and being like, yeah, okay. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that one out. And no, I agree. I think it's always fascinating to see those things. I swear we're the same person. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you me? Are you yes. West Coast me? Yes. And so, no, it's so fascinating because, you know, as far as like when Pornhub puts out like their most like top searched, like, you know, things, searches. I'm always fascinated and how the trends have changed. What a data nerd I am. I just always think it's so fascinating as to what like the search history is by, you know, by country and regionally and kind of lining that up with, you know, what's going on in our country and what sort of things about reproductive health are being limited and restricted and banned. And it's just very interesting and almost a little sad, a lot sad. Let me be honest about that. A lot yeah. sad. All right. So part three and the conclusion of my conversation with Bree will be out next week. So make sure to come back and check it out. As we wrap up this week's episode, don't forget to follow me on social media. Meet Me at the Spot Podcast on Instagram and That Sex Educator over on TikTok for all ways to support the show, including where to follow our amazing guest this week. Check out the show notes. Until next week, bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Make sure you're following me on Instagram, Meet Me at the Spot Podcast. Do you love the show and want to support the podcast? Well, check out the show notes for all the ways to support the work I do. All links related to today's episode can also be found in the show notes. Help others find this podcast by following me and leaving a review, and also spread the word on social media. See you next week when we meet at the spot.